Psalm 77. This is written to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Then I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Amen. Okay, we're going to take a break, or not really take a break, from the progression that we've been looking at. This is, we've been seeing from different aspects and different perspectives, the promise of God to his king, Jesus, and how he rules his people. We've been seeing how the king takes over and how he in the covenant redeems the world and redeems all the people. But you may have noticed, as in much of life, there's a difference between continual improvement and continuous improvement. Things don't always proceed smoothly. Not everything works the way that you would hope it would at every moment. When it comes to health or raising kids or building something or just pretty much any human endeavor, it seems an awful lot of times like two steps forward and one step back. Sometimes even two steps forward and three steps back. But we know in the grace of God and by his promise and in his covenant that things do proceed and things do succeed. And this psalm is a psalm of almost unresolved trouble. Almost unresolved anguish. It starts out as with crying out to God with my voice, to God with my voice. And the repetition there should bring to mind just the desperation. He's not just talking to God, he's crying out with his voice, with his voice. The idea of repetition is often found in Hebrew poetry, and it really stands for an emphasis of the thought or to dwell on it and to really bring it out. I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. Now, one thing to notice in this psalm is God listened, but he didn't do anything to fix the problems that the psalmist is complaining of. Looking at, as we in the context here, the redemption of the world, but in the life of the believer, we all live this psalm repeat over and over. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. That almost sounds like unbelief, but it's not. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. And here we have the Selah, which is often thought to mean to stop and think, stop and listen. One of the things that this psalm teaches us is what's often called happy-clappy Christianity is not what the Bible teaches. Your life will have trouble. People you know and love will be hurt and die. You will be sick. You're going to lose money. You're going to have car accidents. Your house will catch on fire. All sorts of things are going to happen in your life that's unpleasant. that seems like God isn't paying attention, seems like God is ignoring you or even punishing you or allowing Satan to sift you like wheat. This psalm tells us to think of these things and think of these things. Don't dismiss them. Don't tell yourself, well, God's for me, so I don't even have to think about this. Think of these things. Because you will grow spiritually when you think of the depths of what sin has brought to the world and what you deserve and what God has done in the face of these things. Looking on in verse 4, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. That first line, have you ever been so troubled you can't sleep, you can't even close your eyes or turn your head, you're just lying awake with your eyes open looking at the troubles on the ceiling, in the bedroom? That's the thought here. So troubled that I cannot even speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times, and I call to remembrance my song in the night, meditate within my heart, my soul makes spirit makes diligent search. The covenant history that God shows us in the Bible, the covenant history that we see in the redemption of the world since the resurrection, is what's in view here. That's where our mind goes, to look at how, even in bad times, God is good. Even in bad times, God brings forth good things, and that's why we don't ignore the problems in our lives, because God has meant them for good. And we should think of it and look at what He's done in the past and give Him the praise He deserves for what He has done. And then the question, or a variation of it, that I say is the most asked question in the Scriptures, is how long, O Lord? Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? It seems as though He's turned His back on us. We look to the past. He's been good to His people before. But is this the generation that He ignores? Are we the generation of the church that's going to see it fall? The answer, of course, is no. Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Think about that. Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? You ever felt like that? Is that unbelief to ask yourself these questions? The answer is no. Jesus asked those questions. Is it wrong to say, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me? No. It's not wrong to do those things. But it's wrong to stop there or to answer the questions wrongly. Because the psalmist then goes on after some time to think, and I said, this is my anguish. Or this is my anguish. Or this is my anguish. It's undeniable. It's real. Don't deny it and don't put it aside. You have anguish in your life. Don't embrace it, but use it as it is meant. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of Jehovah. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work. Your life is so rough. Your troubles are so much that God's holding your eyes open and you can't sleep and you can't speak. Use that time not to dwell on what Satan may do to you, but on what God has done in the past for His people. I will meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Think about that for a moment. He's not saying that God's stuff's all in the church. That's not what he's saying. He's saying God's way of doing things, of handling things, of dealing with history, what matters is in the sanctuary. This isn't the sanctuary, guys. This is the auditorium. Let's get our terminology right. The sanctuary is where the Holy of Holies is. It is the Holy of Holies. That's what it means. The holy place. The mercy seat of Christ dwelling among His people. There among the people. You pass through the blood, the fire, and death of sacrifice. Then you go in the gates, into the doors, and all there is holiness and quiet and peace. And inside is the throne room of God where mercy comes, where the covenant was fulfilled, where salvation lives with His people, where the covenant, the sign, the visible sign of the covenant is, showing that God has promised and will redeem. So what we're saying here is, excuse me, meditate on all your work and talk of all your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Think about that. Paradigm shift. Your mind turns now. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. And here in faith, the psalmist was looking forward to a redemption that would be done. God has saved his people through a great act of covenant redemption yet to be accomplished. But we look back and know that it's been done. We know that it's been done. And that's what we think of when we're sunk in anguish. And then the last several verses speaks of creation, of nature in submission to God, showing how great God is, that the waters, the seas, the depths, the clouds, the skies, the thunders, the lightnings, the earthquakes, all of these great things that seem so mighty and strong to us were as nothing before God's voice. As he promised and proclaimed redemption and salvation, as he as king declared that that creation serves him in his redemption and love for his people, who can stand against him? What can stand against him? The answer is nothing. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron, by a stammerer and his brother the fool. God's people were led out of Egypt and established, given the law, and the covenant was shown to them, and the great nation was set up. It was just that last little bit of faithfulness in the earth before Jesus came. But now, as creation is redeemed, and as the covenant grows across the world, as tens of millions and hundreds of millions come to him, there's no reason to lay in bed in our anguish and fear. There is no longer how long until the covenant is established. It has been. Yes, you may suffer and die, but in the covenant and in God's grace and in eternity, he has done great things for his people. And that's what the psalm is about. Remember to look back at what God has accomplished and promised, and look forward to the greatness that he has given his people and promised for creation.